Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for joining us too. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, Lord. Lord, the devil's pretty tricky. And he is keeping a lot of people from finishing the course because they're ignorant of his devices. So, Lord, we just ask you to help us today to understand. I ask you your conviction to go forth, show your people how much you love them, what you want to do for them. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. We wouldn't make it without you. There's no way. So, thank you. Amen. Okay, saints, let's look at Psalm 80 for a minute here. We cannot trust in ourselves. I mean, even if we know what's wrong, we cannot correct it if we're trusting in ourselves, in our own ability, you know, New Year's resolution kind of thing, you know. Okay, Lord, I'll do better. No, you have to trust in the mercy of God. It does not come natural to the clay to be able to create itself. It's just got to be in the hands of the Creator. Only thing we can do is have faith in Him. That's about it. But if we do that, we will bear fruit. In Psalm 80, he says, verse 3, "Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Turn us again. Turn us around, which is what the word repent means. Send us off in the other direction. Can he do that? Well, of course he can. The problem is many of us depend upon ourselves. They look at their own ability, our own ability, and we find no help that way because it's only through faith. It's not through our works that we're going to be saved from whatever you need to be saved from. If you're like me, you want to be holy before God. You want to have a Passover of all the things that are coming. You want to be pleasing unto God, and yet there's no way in your own works to get there. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine. In other words, have mercy, have grace, look on us with favor, and we shall be saved. The Bible says God grants repentance. You have to go to Him to get repentance. Sometimes people struggle to try to do better and fail and struggle and fail because they're just trusting in themselves. It's by faith that you're going to be saved. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, not of your works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. So, and down in verse 7, "Turn us again, O God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." We have to recognize that this is in the hands of God. He can create of the same lump of clay one part unto honor and another unto dishonor. It's in His hands. And also, by the way, he said, "You have not because you ask not." How about that? You have not because you ask not. What do you need? What do you want from God? Ask Him. And then trust Him. Ask Him. And trust Him. Verse 14. "Turn again, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine." A vine's a pretty low-laying plant, you know. And it's not really able to lift itself up. And verse 17 says, "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand," the sheep, I would say, "upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself." He makes us strong. He gives us strength. You go to Him, you ask Him, you trust Him. Yes, it's good to be grieved over your sins, but not spend a whole lot of time in condemnation. Turn to God in faith. You're accounted righteous through your faith. You see what happened at the cross. He made an exchange at the cross. He gave you His life. It's not a matter of you talking into it, talking Him into it. He's already done it. There was an exchange made, His life for yours. He gave you His life. He took away yours and nailed it on that cross. And now, look what He says here. Quicken thou us, and we will call upon thy name. Quicken thou us, and we will call upon thy name. Quicken means to make alive. Make us alive, Lord, and we'll do what you want us to do. Put it in us, Lord. Work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, Lord. Change your heart. You know, sometimes you feel like you want to go one way, but you know the other way is better. Better for you. Ask God to put it in your heart to walk after His statutes. Ask God to put it in your heart. Quicken thou us, and we will call upon thy name. Having trouble praying to God? Ask Him to make you alive so that you can pray to Him. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Well, amen. And we see that also in Psalm 119 quite a bit. Grace is magnified there. Grace that is requested of God. You know, I think one of the most powerful prayers you can pray is a prayer for mercy and a prayer for grace. It's powerful. God knows you need it. He knows you can't make it without it. Sometimes we just muddle on through thinking, well, it'll be better the next time. Well, not if we don't change anything this time. You know, we're in a warfare. The devil is trying to deceive us and rob us of our benefits of the kingdom. And sometimes we listen to him a little too long, you know, and get carried away by unbelief or doubt or sin or whatever, you know. You know, in Psalm 119 and 5, he says, "Oh, that my ways were established to observe thy statutes." Well, that's a request you can make to God. Lord, cause my ways to be established in your statutes. Cause me to be obedient. Then shall I not be put to shame when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Pray that God put respect in your heart for his commandments and hold them higher than your self-will or your fears. He said, "I will give thanks unto thee with uprightness of heart. When I learn thy righteous judgments, I will observe thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." This is the cleansing of the way, is to walk in God's word. And of course, God has the ability to cause you to obey his word. The Bible says, "Faith without works is dead." It's not real faith if it's not followed up by works. He said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Lead us not into temptation, the Lord taught us to pray. And here you see it again. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Good request. You have not because you ask not. Lord, keep me in the way, they called it in the book of Acts. Keep me in the way, not in the way of everybody else. I'm talking about the way of the cross, the way of righteousness, the way of following Christ, right? "Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Yeah, because the Lord will bring to your remembrance all things that he has said unto you to protect you and to guard you and to warn you and to move you in the right direction, right? Verse 17, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. So will I observe thy word." Hey, there, look at that. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. So will I observe thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Good requests. All of these prayers are prayers God expects you to have confidence that you can pray and receive. If they prayed it in the Bible, you can pray it. God's not a respecter of persons. I'm a sojourner in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Can he do that? Oh, yes, he can. He has done it with a lot of folk. He can open it, open your eyes to see it and to understand it and to remember it, and he can close you off to it. And here's the truth. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. He's talking about flesh here, from which was made from the dust. My soul cleaveth to its origins, right? Quicken thou me according to thy word. Make me alive, Lord. Lord, this old soul, it's cleaving to that flesh. It's cleaving to the old ways. It's wanting to go back in that direction. Make me alive, Lord, so I will obey your word. I declare my ways, and thou answerest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I meditate on thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Lord, we ask you to enlarge our heart, to take in all of your commandments, O Lord. Put it in our heart to love your word, Lord, to follow you, Lord. Put it in our heart. Verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Yes, so many people have their eyes on foolishness. And he says, quicken me in thy ways. Make us alive in your ways, Lord. The Lord knows you must not want it if you don't ask for it, if you don't seek him for it. Many people get caught up in this trap of discouragement because they've tried and failed, but the problem was they tried and failed. They didn't get help from God. They didn't expect it from God. They expected it from themselves. They expected that they could have done better, and so they get condemned because they thought they could do better. That's a door opening for the devil to bring condemnation, is when you think you can do better. Listen. We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Through Christ who strengtheneth us. He will strengthen us. And all we have to do is ask him. When he knows we want something, he's willing to give it. We want it more than we want this world. Even if you want to, he can supply that, right? Confirm unto thy servant thy word, which is in order unto the fear of thee. Amen. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant, because thou hast made me to hope. Which means, of course, we can ask him to make us to hope. Hope is a firm expectation. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. The word quickens us, makes us alive, empowers us. We're sowing a seed in our heart that Jesus said could bring forth fruit, which is fruit of himself, because it's his seed. He's the sower. 30, 60, and 100 fold. For thy word hath quickened me. The word will quicken you. It will empower you. It's a seed sown in your heart that grows and grows and bears fruit. Spend no time in vanity, spend all your time preparing for God to bring forth fruit in your heart. You know, in order for it to bear fruit, you have to put it in there. And some people don't. Everything else is more important. I mean, when there was a call to the marriage feast, they all made excuses why they couldn't go. Well, this is the marriage feast, folks. We're feasting on the Word of God, the body and blood of Christ, the bread and the wine. We're We're feasting on it. And it has power. The people who stay in the Word make good habits of staying in the Word. They outgrow everybody around them. And while people all around them are falling away, falling into foolishness, they're strong because they sowed God's seed in their heart. So you see, this grace, this mercy that the Lord wants to give us. Verse 93 says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, made me alive, in other words. Verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I observe the testimony of thy mouth. Make us alive so we can observe the testimony of your word, Lord. And with your word, you will then again make us alive. We have to do this. 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. In other words, anything outside of the word is a false way. You must determine that the word of God is right. It solves every problem. Some people argue with the word of God. They'll pick other verses that they perceive to be against the ones that somebody's offering them. But we have to esteem all thy precepts concerning all to be right, and to hate every false way. 149, quicken me, O Lord, according to thine ordinances. And he goes on down using that word quicken all down the text there. Make us alive. Go to God. Ask him to make you alive, alive in his kingdom. Don't forget his precepts. And when the devil comes to condemn you, remember some things. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. See, this is a cycle. Only if your heart doesn't condemn you can you have faith towards God. And faith, of course, is the way to grace. And grace is the way to have every need met. Every need met. If our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. So if you have boldness towards God, you can receive everything God has for you. And that's a lot. Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, how do we do his commandments? We just saw it. You ask him to put it in your heart. Right? And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. This is his commandment. Even as he gave us commandment. Amen. So, be sure and love, because without love, we're nothing. Without love, we don't get grace. Chapter 1 and verse 9 of 1 John. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Multitudes of people don't know this or don't believe it enough to do it, but this is powerful. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous, or just, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you want to get rid of any legal condemnation, there's a lot of illegal condemnation that comes on a person, and we should need to recognize that. But if you want to get rid of any condemnation that is legal for willful disobedience or anything else, you know, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Confess your sins. Find somebody that's faithful. Confess your sins to them. At least confess them to the Lord. If you've wronged someone, you need to confess to them so that their heart can be delivered, so that you're not continuing to do damage to them the rest of their life as they remember what you did to them. There's a lot of people in that fix. They're remembering what happened to them way back when. The devil just keeps replaying it in their mind so that they've got unforgiveness, so that they're under the curse, so that they have no faith, and so on and so on. It's just a vicious cycle. And he's telling you the easiest way to get rid of it here. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But he goes on to say, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you may not sin. Okay, now you can draw a line right there, all the way back to that word, to cleanse. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Well, are you going to sin if you're cleansed of unrighteousness? Well, no, you're not. God is on your side, you know. He wants to help. If you desire his help, he will give it. Ask him. Remember, you trusted in him and his ability to deliver you from sin, even though he already did it at the cross. It still has to be manifested, right? And remember, you're not justified by your works, your ability to do good. You're justified by faith in him. What he did at the cross, when he took away your sins and nailed them on that cross. And remember, faith is the foundation for grace. By grace have you been saved through faith. You got to go through faith to get to grace. If you believe, you get grace. Even while you're in the midst of your sin, if you believe, you get grace. You want to not sin, you want to overcome, you want to be ready for the Passover of all these curses that are coming upon the world from the destroyer. How do you do it? Well, Romans 4:2. For if Abraham was justified, that means accounted righteous, by works, that means his works, or religious works, or works of the law, okay? If Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. He could brag. He could say, look, I made it, God. But you know what? It's not going to ever happen. But not towards God. He can't glory towards God. It won't happen. He's going to fail. For what saith the scripture? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned. What does reckoned mean? It means considered done. It actually doesn't mean it's done. He believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. God considered him righteous because he believed God. Not because he'd overcome yet. You see, when you're reckoned righteous, you can have any benefit of the kingdom. And one of the benefits we need is the ability to obey and keep his word. It was reckoned unto him for righteousness. So he was considered righteous. Now he can turn to God and pray and believe with a bold heart. Whatever he needs. Now to him that worketh, like there's a lot of people working their way to heaven, trying to do good deeds and trying to cover up for their sins and all that, which will never work. To him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace. Oh my goodness, he doesn't give you any consideration of grace when you're trying to work your way to heaven or trying to pick yourself up by your bootstraps or trying to be good enough to be acceptable by God. It's never going to happen. Sinners don't do anything but sin. That's all they do. That's all they can do, unless God reaches in and changes something. The reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. God would owe it to you if you could do it. No man has ever done it. But to him that worketh not, none of your self-effort here he's talking about, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth or accounts righteous, the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Now here's somebody that's still ungodly. They haven't changed. They just want a change. They're coming to God. They want a change. Many people give up, throw up their hands, and go back out into the world because they thought the way was self-effort. And they are miserably fail, and then they don't believe it anymore. But really, they never entered in because it wasn't by faith. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Justifieth the ungodly? Accounts righteous the ungodly? Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But one of them is in the physical realm, and one of them is in the spiritual realm. When God accounts you righteous, even though you're doing wrong, you're able to have grace. It says his faith is reckoned for righteousness. While in the midst of his sin, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Oh, how awesome. And chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have peace because we believe he took away our sins. See, some people don't understand that either. They just think, okay, that's a sin. That's something that you did that God's not accounting against you. Well, it's not just that. He takes away the nature of sin in the first place. Remember what we read in 1 John. He cleanses you of all unrighteousness. That's a cleansing of the very nature of sin. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. All things. Every time you pray. Yes, I know, God is weak to the weak, and sometimes prayers of importunity will bring you to that place of faith and you enter in. But that's not what he wants. What he wants is every time you pray, you believe you have received. That's what he says. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace. Notice, justified by faith, we have access to grace. We have had our access by faith into this grace, which is unmerited favor, wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh steadfastness. And steadfastness, approvedness, and approvedness, hope. So we're coming all the way back around to hope again. And hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. See, look at 7 and 19. He said, for the good which I would, I do not. This is Paul lamenting his inability to do what was right. Lamenting his inability to do what is right. Get a revelation. Save yourself a lot of trouble. You can't do what's right. You need grace from God. And that only comes through faith. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith is saying, okay, I've asked you, Father, now I'm believing I've got it. Just as you commanded. Mark 11 and 24. For the good which I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I practice. But if what I would not, or I will not to do, right? If what I would not, that I do, it's no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. He's saying the I here is the person that doesn't want it. I don't want to sin. I don't want to fail. I don't want to be under the curse. But Paul is saying he's failing. He goes in verse 18, he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. Okay, you can have will all you want. This is not willpower that's going to make you overcome. This is not the 12 steps willpower that's going to make you overcome. Or even peer pressure that's going to make you overcome. faith in God. I find then the law that to me, who would do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see a different law in my members. Yeah, it's like the law of gravity. All sinners sin. I see a different law in my member, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. This is the great Apostle Paul. He's getting a revelation here. He's brought into captivity by his members, warring against his mind, and under the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am. Here's a guy who wants to do right, and he's not doing it, but he's getting a revelation. He says, no longer I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. That sin is the old man. He is condemned to die. He's what you got baptized for when you went down in that water. He has to die. You can't reform the old man. There's nothing in him that's good. He's the enemy of God, the Bible says. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, who did it? Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I of myself, with the mind, indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So he's saying, before you overcome that sin, before you receive grace to be cleansed of all unrighteousness, he's saying, I serve the law of God with my mind, but the flesh is going after sin. And now he tells you, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want you to be condemned, no more than Paul was in verse 25. He realized, oh, that old sinner, he ain't going to do anything but sin, but I'm going to trust God. So, don't accept condemnation for something that you don't want, that you have turned away from in your heart, not necessarily in your flesh, because condemnation is against faith. Notice, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we do the things that are pleasing in His sight, right? Okay? Because, and he goes on to say, no condemnation to them that are in Christ. How is he in Christ if he's got this sin problem? He's in Christ by faith. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice, he's saying it's already been done. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Why is that? Why has it always already been done? Because God made an exchange of his life for yours. He gave you his life at the cross. He took yours and he nailed it to the cross. You were crucified with Christ. So you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. That's what Paul's revelation was all about. Faith, faith, faith believes that God already did it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. That's like saying, I made you free from the law of gravity. It's very natural. Gravity works every time, so does sin. God said he made you free from that law. For what the law could not do, all the law could do is say, don't do this, do this. That's all it could do. And then it made you a sinner because you disobeyed. In that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, the only strength to obey the law was in their flesh. They had to discover that sinners are not saints and they can't become saints overnight. They can't become saints by their own power at all. At all. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak. So you can know the rules, but your flesh is weak. In that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? so that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us. He's not saying go back under the law. He's saying the law being fulfilled. See, you don't lust after your neighbor's wife because it's taken out of there. Right? You don't do this. You don't do that. You don't do it not because you're stronger than the law. Because the law is, you know, when you're talking about these kinds of laws, they can't be broken. Any more than gravity is broken without some force, some ability. So that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, you're desiring after God. And God respects that you are desiring after Him. Okay, look at Colossians chapter 1. For this cause, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make requests for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Oh, this revelation we're talking about, of course, included. You know, we need understanding. The devil will trick us. He'll deceive us. He'll deceive us out of our benefits if he can. Now, that's why you study the Word, you know, to show yourself approved. Right? To walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing. Oh my goodness. Can you pray for that? I mean, he's praying for it. He's praying for somebody else to have this. Of course, we all believe it for ourselves too. To walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work. Wow. Every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Yes, you know, what you sow, you reap, right? You exercise faith in the Word, you reap the benefits, and now these benefits are in you so that you can sow better seed, right? Praise the Lord. It's a cycle. It's a cycle of life. It goes upward. The cycle of death goes downward. Strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory. Unto all patience and long suffering with joy. Are you impatient with people? Or impatient with yourself? Strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory. Unto all patience and long suffering with joy. Giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, now, he just got through talking about some of our inheritance there. Bearing fruit in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. He made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. The sanctified one. Okay, the inheritance of the saints. What do the sanctified ones inherit? Right. He made us able to inherit that. In light. The saints in light. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness. You see, the devil wants to talk you out of this statement right here. He delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The devil has no power over you except you give to him by your faith in him. What is faith in the devil? Oh, fear, doubt, anxiety, stress, all these things. You're always believing the devil when he threatens you, telling you that he's got control over you, he has ability over you. No, he doesn't. God took that away. He delivered you out of the power of his whole dark kingdom, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Now, let's get to the important part down here. Verse 19. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. He's talking about the fullness of his people. He is not talking about the fullness of God in Christ. Okay. And through him to reconcile all. The word things was not in the original. To reconcile all unto himself. Reconcile is that word, apokastolasso. Okay. And it means to exchange completely. Exchange completely. So if you've got fear, what did God replace it with? Well, I would say faith. the very opposite. He made an exchange. You don't have to confess your sin of fear anymore. I mean, you can confess it, but turn immediately and accept the gift of faith that was given at the cross. Your fear was put upon that cross. And what was given to you was His faith. Everything you need was given you on the cross, because everything you need is in Christ. Everything you need is in Christ. Where do you lack? Apply the reconciliation to it. It already happened at the cross. You don't have to talk God into it. You don't have to beg Him. It already happened at the cross. What is your need? Go to Him and ask Him. We just saw back at the beginning of this teaching that He can make us alive. All of our problem is we're living in the old man, dead to sin. Dead in sin, I should say, sorry. To reconcile, and through Him, to reconcile all. Through Him, through Jesus, to reconcile all unto Himself. And we have this ministry of reconciliation Paul talked about, meaning we speak faith to people, we speak justification by faith, and salvation and grace through faith to people. And through this, we're able to exchange their sins with the righteousness of Christ. Remember, Christ is the opposite of everything that we are. He is righteousness. He's the righteousness of God in Christ. Everything you lack, He provided. Everything. Reconcile all unto Himself. That means exchange. He exchanged all unto Himself. This is His purpose. Having made peace through the blood of the cross. The cross is what reconciled all unto Himself. That's where the reconciliation was made. He reconciled all unto Himself. Where do you lack? What do you mourn about in your life that you don't like, that you believe God doesn't like? Well, just remember, He already took care of it. Yes, you can confess it. You should confess it. But then turn and receive your gift. When you confess it, you're cleansed of unrighteousness, as we saw. So if you're cleansed of unrighteousness, what problem do you have? Unrighteousness is the only problem that you have. He took it away. He nailed it to the cross. Having made peace. So there's that peace through reconciliation and faith, right? Through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things are on the earth or things in the heavens. And you being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now hath He reconciled. Okay, in the past, before you got this revelation of justification by faith, you were an enemy and alienated. In your mind and in your evil works, you were alienated. But now that you understand by faith that you've been reconciled, which means to exchange completely, it's no more I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Now that you understand this, you're justified. Yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before Him. Now, I don't know how people twist this. It's very plain. God is able to bring to pass what you commit to Him by faith. Do you believe that He made reconciliation? That He made this exchange? That now His righteousness is yours and your unrighteousness is nailed to the cross? Do you believe it? If you believe it, then He's able to bring it to pass. Jesus could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. He could not, because according to His own word, be it unto you according to your faith. According to His own word. Now, you can argue with God. You can beg God. You can beg Him and beg Him and beg Him. And He may put faith in your heart, you know, which is a good thing. But you may continue begging and begging and finally give up because you don't believe in prayer anymore. There's multitudes of Christians don't believe in prayer. That's because they never have success. Because they don't know how to pray. If you didn't have success, how long would you pray? Yeah, it's just a formality, right? Well, that's all it is in most churches, just a dead formality. He wants you to repent and be reconciled through faith of what happened on the cross. He said, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before Him. And then He gives this condition. If so be that you continue in the faith. You continue in the faith, He continues in the sanctification. You continue in the faith, He continues to manifest the reconciliation, the exchange. You continue in the faith. Faith is what? The substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not seen. In other words, what you're seeing with your eyes is totally contrary to what you're believing. You're believing He took away your sins. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. The real message there is being missed by the multitudes. So this reconciliation will continue if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, the firm expectation of the good news, to put it in English. Not moved away from the firm expectation of the good news. The good news is what? Reconciliation has been made. Be happy. You can't do anything about your sins except believe God. And He will strengthen you by His power. He'll strengthen you with what? All power, according to the might of His glory, unto all patience and long-suffering and joy. He said, unto all pleasing, bearing fruit unto every good work. Every good work. But you must see your sin on that cross. Imagination is powerful. It's also a tool of faith. You must see your sin on the cross. You must see His righteousness in your heart. You accept it.